Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag. And for this week only, get a 110% sign-on bonus. 110% of your initial deposit by using code NEXTROUND. That's MyBookie.ag, code NEXTROUND. Tom Lucabelle joins us now from the road. He is with ESPN. What is up, Lukes? How are you?
I am great. So a couple of things before we get started. Number one, how much fun is RV?
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah, we had it at Talladega. It's great. Yes. Yeah.
It is awesome. Did it with the family for like 2 years. Hope to be doing it again at some point or another when everybody's off to college. Number two, Jim, you're beyond repair.
Yeah. Oh, my hair?
Yeah. We tell Dave past this all the time.
Yeah.
We're like, don't be Brian Urlacher.
No. In fact, it would look stupid now if I started to grow it back. But yes. I was actually the first one because it was going to be like turning a basket of fish and feeding the masses if Dr. B was able to get my hair to grow back. So the first thing was you're old, your follicles are dead. So then LT went, and now Brownie is there. So, yes, we are way past it. Yes.
I think you look good. You look good. I don't think it should change a thing.
Well, it's a little hairy today.
It's going to be a little tough.
I'm going to lose. I usually buzz it. I didn't buzz it this morning. I was running a little late. Didn't get here till 6:50.
I see it, though. You got the little sproutlings.
Yeah.
Lugan Bill also missed the eye a little late. Didn't get here till 6:50.
Lugan Bill, he looks like a baby reindeer.
Wow.
Hey, our man Chip Brown. Chip Brown, I was on with him yesterday in Austin. He's like, hey, my wife wanted to know, are you the idiot that got us on Baby Reindeer? And I told you guys the same thing. I watched one episode, and you'll agree, after one episode, it's like, damn, this can be pretty good. And then it quickly goes off the rails.
Right off of a cliff. Now, while we're on the subject, don't know if you've seen it, but there is a great show with Jeff Daniels called American Rust.
Oh, I've got it queued and ready to go this weekend.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
It's phenomenal. It's on Amazon Prime. There's only two seasons. The wife and I just finished the finale of the second season, and it was one of the best television end-of-season finales, and I hope it's not the end of the show. It's one of the best finales I've seen in a long time. Get on it. It's fantastic.
That is amazing you said that, because I was looking for something after The Gentleman to watch, and that popped up, and I was like, I'm going to go with that.
Give me a synopsis. What we got?
So it's basically in the Rust Belt. It's like a small outside of Pittsburgh, in the peninsula point of West Virginia, old mining towns, and it's basically a police thriller drama mystery. That's the best way for me to explain it without giving too much away. You don't know who to trust. You think the good guys are the good guys, but you're not quite sure. Yeah. Sometimes the good guys got to do bad guy things, but you like them because they're really actually the good guy that just had to do what needed to be done. That type of thing.
What's the time period?
It's now. It's okay. Current.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels. I don't know if you ever saw Godless. His best work.
Great movie.
Yeah, he was incredible in that. But, I mean, he's an underrated guy, obviously, from Dumb and Dumber and doing, drama. I mean, the guy's versatile.
He's great in The Newsroom.
Love The Newsroom.
Fantastic. By the way, is there anything in sports going on lately?
I don't know. You've got J.J. McCarthy on your bed back there.
Yeah, well, you guys are talking about hair. Quaid.
Yeah, tell Quaid, get a haircut. Get a haircut, Quaid.
We got no hair problems here with a bowl of popcorn.
As a guy used to teach a Easy A class at Eastern Kentucky, that hair works in Richmond, Kentucky.
First of all, there is no such thing. This is the Harvard of the South, mind you. By the way, so this is so cool, and you guys know this, because in our business, we miss a lot. Right? Like, we miss a lot.
Right.
And it just so happens, especially for me, because I never get to see him playing, it just so happens that this weekend, Fox has three of the four UFL games. And it happens to coincide with the spring game and a charity event that I'm involved with. So I actually get to come and do it with my son this weekend, which is awesome because he enrolled in the summer session in like 3 weeks, and I'm not going to be able to be there to take him. So this is like a really, really cool weekend. And Jim, I know you know better than to besmirch Richmond, Kentucky.
Oh, I know. No, I taught a class there. I left a brand new pair of shoes there because I had too many kamikaze shots one night at a bar when I met a young lady. Richard Kidd, I think, right? Richard Kidd, is that his name? Coach Kidd? Roy Kidd Stadium, man. That guy could coach some ball.
Yeah. He could coach some ball, man. Made it to 91 years old this last August.
Tom Lugabill is with us from ESPN. He's on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. This may be a tough question, but of the first round guys, you evaluated all these guys coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Of the first round guys, from the first tape you watched to last night, who made the biggest improvement? Just gut reaction from the first tape you ever watched them until last night when they're drafted. Who do you think you saw make the biggest jump?
Bo Nix.
There you go. Bo Nix.
I mean, honestly, and you and I were texting last night.
Yeah.
And you've got to give that kid a lot of credit, man. Because anybody who's in our profession, in the media, pays attention to college football or recruiting. And I first saw him at a Atlanta camp. I think he was 15. And we had him in the Under Armour game. But anybody who thinks after those first 3 years at Auburn that he was going to go on and would tell you that he was going to go on and become a first-round draft choice is flat-out lying. I mean, there's probably not been a player that has had a reversal of fortune and earned his stock in the first round as much as Bo Nix did when you consider the path he took.
Okay, can I ask you this, Luke? I want to read you this from Adam Schefter, and you tell me how full of horse shit Sean Payton is. Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft when he held the 11th overall pick. He was ready to turn in the card, but before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills' spot at number 10 and took Mahomes one spot before Payton drafted him. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did about Mahomes.
If he feels that way, then you make the pick. I mean, I thought the pick was high. I thought there was a little ego involved. But if you feel that way, then you've got to make the pick, and now it's your job to coach him into that type of player. But I will say this, too. As much as people loved Patrick Mahomes, nobody projected that one either. Because you've got to understand, when you look at that offense, you look at the true air raid offense, there have been two players, since Tim Couch was drafted. Why do I have balloons on this?
I do not know. What in the world just happened?
That is unbelievable.
That is nothing we did.
Was that you?
No. I think it was Quade. I think Quade screwed up.
Yeah, he is.
The next round, I thought we got special effects now.
I don't know.
I got a green screen. A dinosaur is going to show up here.
We just don't want eggplants.
You know what? What's crazy is that this is a new segment I'm doing. It's like that that show on ESPN. You just made a good point, so I gave you balloons.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really like it.
If you make another good point, I'll give you lightning bolts, hot takes.
There have been two players since Tim Couch was drafted that have actually panned out from the air raid offense. That's Patrick Mahomes, and I think you have to now include Jared Goff. He has played in 2 Super Bowls. Okay.
Yep.
So nobody really truly believed that one. They might have loved his skill set, but you have to always ask yourself from that scheme, is it going to translate? Is he going to be able to make that move? And there's really only been two. In fact, if you look over the course of the last 20 years, do you know how many top 10 picks, quarterbacks, have actually made the Pro Bowl or been voted unanimously All-Pro?
How many?
Four.
20 years.
Just shows you how difficult it is to project the position.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I tweeted out, and it's one of those freezing takes, and I've seen it a million times. When the Chiefs took him 10th overall, I was like, they're going to regret this Patrick Mahomes kid. Because, I mean, realistically, Bo Nix had a ton more success in college than Patrick Mahomes did.
Yeah.
He won a lot more games. Absolutely did.
Let me ask you, though.
We're on the subject.
Hey, yeah, go ahead. Drake May, Mac Jones. I mean, you tell me, what are the Patriots doing? Is Drake May that much better than Mac Jones?
Athletically, he is. Absolutely, he is. He's a completely different athlete, completely different style of play. I think my issue with Drake is they never finish seasons strong. He misses too many layups, and his feet are a mess. Now, I think that the footwork part's coachable, but those windows are going to go from here to there.
Right.
And you can't miss those ones. And I think that's a concern. And the other concern on top of it is, what is the organizational investment around him? They're not a very good football team.
Yeah, that seemed like that was Mac's problem. Now, I understand that, you know, Drake May is more Josh Allen and Mac Jones was more of a pocket guy. But when it comes to arm strengths and accuracy and things like that, is Drake that much better than Mac? I mean, the ability to run is one thing, but Was Drake's arm stronger than Max? Is Drake's accuracy better than Max?
I think so. I think accuracy is very comparable. If you're gonna say, okay, well, where would maybe Mac have an advantage? I think the arm strength, the athleticism, the natural. The guy's a three sport athlete. I mean, it would just. He's different, you know. But you look at him and you say, okay, you know, what do they got around him? And then you look at Minnesota and you go, oh my goodness, look at what McCarthy's stepping into.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's an entirely, we're talking about an entirely different set of circumstances. And in that league, circumstances matter. Like, who do you have around you? Do you have the right scheme? Do you have the right coach? I was on SiriusXM the other day and I was talking about Kurt Warner's journey. And when you think about it, like, think about all of the things that had to happen, right? You had to have the Rams be willing to do it. You had to have Mike Marks. You had to have Trent Green go down. You had to have Marshall Faulk, Hakeem, Torrey Holt, and Isaac Bruce. You had to have Orlando Pace. Like, think about all of the stars that have to align, right? So a lot of these guys that are highly touted and very, very talented are going to a situation where it may take a couple of years for the stars to align.
I think it was Brown or Dunaway that pointed out the fact that Bo Nix went in front of Brock Bowers. I've said all along that I think Brock Bowers, if he stays healthy, is the absolute can't miss in this draft. I was hoping as a Rams fan, the offense would have been unstoppable with a healthy Cooper Kupp, Puka yeah. Nacua, and Brock Bowers with the way Sean McVay calls plays. But obviously Antonio Pierce said, look, Michael Mayer, we got him last year in the second round. The mm-hmm. best player available at 13 is Brock Bowers. How do you think his game translates to the next level?
I tweeted last night that I thought he was pound for pound the best player in the entire draft pool. And I think it's hard to draw a comparison of somebody to him. And he hasn't played an NFL snap yet. And that's what you do when you get to that spot and the guys that you wanted, I know they wanted Jaden Daniels, wasn't going to happen, and they weren't going to be able to trade to do it. I think they would have taken Penix, all right? That didn't happen. You take the best player on the board and you figure out the rest. And what he does offensively, guys, how many tight ends do you see running jet sweeps?
I know.
Like, how many tight ends do you see in orbit motion and they're running bubble screen?
Yeah.
Like, he threatens the hashes. He threatens the numbers. He's going to be a nightmare over the middle of the field. And his run after catch abilities are so rare that there's just nobody to compare it to him. I thought it was a great pick.
So why did they draft wide receivers? I mean, why would the people that draft wide receivers not just get the uncoverable tight end Brock Bowers?
I know. Well, again, that's where you're weighing need and best player, available player in your slot versus best overall player if the guy's still there. And I think there's a different set of thinking for every team in that regard. So, I mean, and listen, too, when we're having this discussion with this particular position, like, if there's not a Marvin Harrison or a Roma Dunze or some of these, if they're not in this class, then the answer to your questions, I think, is a lot easier.
Look at Bill, before you go, one quick college question. They were called the Freeze Four, the receivers that Hugh Freeze yeah. recruited, both recruited through the transfer portal. Obviously, Cam Coleman, Bryce Kane, Perry Thompson, Robert Lewis, the transfer out of Georgia State. But now you add Keandre Lambert-Smith. I guess it's the Freeze Five now out of Penn State. What are they getting in him, and what do you make of this brand-new receiving core that Peyton Thorne will have next year?
Well, I think it's a remarkable turn of events for them because they went from really having minimal weapons to terrific weapons. So you've got five guys going out the door in the portal. You've got the three and then the kid from Cal's coming in too. With Robert Lewis, by getting DeAndre Lambert, you get to move Robert Lewis inside the slot, which is probably where he belongs. And Coach Freed loves to do stuff with the slot receiver. What I think this does is it, number one, upgrades the room because Cam Coleman is going to be special. He's going to be special. He is. It upgrades the room, but what it also does indirectly is it puts a lot more pressure on Peyton Thorne to perform because now you're not going to be able to say he doesn't have guys around him. They've got guys around him. They've got improvements around him. So this is what the transfer portal is capable of doing now. If you're doing your job and you're doing the work, you can retool something in 2 weeks that might have taken 2 years.
Someone said the balloons were because you have software that picks up on finger gestures. He said, get Luke and Bill to do another thumbs up to the camera and see what happens. Oh, there you go.
Oh!
How about that? I kind of like that.
Yeah. Hold on.
Now clap your hands.
Yeah, clap your hands.
What is quotation?
Yeah. Oh, confetti.
Is that confetti?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're not on a job interview.
No, if you do that, we're going to get the eggplant.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What if I point? What does that
mean? We got nothing there.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, this is great.
Clap.
Clap.
Do the shake weight that you used to work out with.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are a bunch of sickos.
I didn't watch that series you and LT watched.
The baby reindeer.
I immediately got off of it. I was cursing him up and down.
We'll see, boy.
All right, Luke. Thank you. Enjoy it with Quaid, man. Y'all be good.
All right. Well, hey, will do.
See ya.
Luke. I didn't do it.
Luke Cavill with us on the Johnstonrvcenter.com hotline.